Okay, we're starting at the very last two words on Tet Amavet. Just to review, we have the Mishnah, Kenidre Rishayim Nadar B'Nazir B'Korban B'Shvua, Kenidre K'sherim Lo Amar Klum, Kenid Votam. If you say Kenid Votam, right, and there's a difference between a Neder and a Nadava. Nedarim, the assumption of our Mishnah is only not such great people take them, okay, for not the right reasons necessarily. Or, this, I was actually thinking about this. There's two different aspects really relating to this Nidre Rishayim. One is that people, it comes from not necessarily a good place. The other is that we're concerned that they're not going to keep to their neder. And that's why also that there's a concern that you might break your neder, and therefore, often the people doing it, you know, it's not a good idea to get into it because you might break your neder. One's relating to the motivation for taking the neder, and the other's relating to the problem with actualizing your neder, right? One is before, one is after, really, after you take your neder. Kinidvotam, but nidavot are things that are generally taken by kasher people, and that's more like you want to bring a korban, and we talked about what's the case of a nidava by korban, why is it okay? Because you do it right in the Beit HaMikdash itself, right before you're about to do your shechita, and therefore there's so little chance of you not fulfilling, and that really relates to only the fulfilling part of it and not what was your motivation. And then we talked about what's by Nazir, what would be the case of Kinyid Votam. We saw this anyway according to Rabbi Meir, and that was people who do it for the right reasons and they do it in a proper manner and they're totally pure, you know, like this guy who wanted to get rid of his hair so that it wouldn't turn him away. What we saw yesterday was the Gemara wanted to know which Tana makes this distinction between Neder and Nedava, because we have a Machloka, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where they don't distinguish between Neder and Nedava at all. They distinguish, but right, there's a Machloka whether a Neder, ideally you should never take Nedarim, never do Nedarim, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir says you can keep you can do a Neder as long as you can keep it. So neither of them distinguish between Neder and Nedava. So the first thing the Gemara did was say, we can read the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir, because we can say that he was only talking about Neder and he wasn't talking about Nedava. So he was saying that, Rabbi Meir, who said, better never to make a Neder, no Neder kol ikar. So he's basically saying, better never to take a Neder, but Nedava, of course you could do, he just didn't relate to it. Okay, now we're going to see, Ibait Emar, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yehuda. We can even say that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. How? We're going to say the same type thing. Ki amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Nedava ben Neder lo amar. Okay. What he was talking about that it's better to do a neder, and the best ideal is to take a neder and keep it. He wasn't talking about neder. He was talking about Nedava. Okay. Now, what would you say according to that? Then that Rabbi Meir. Okay. He's holding according to this. That you shouldn't take a neder or a nedava, okay? Which is interesting. So then, what do they say? So ki amar Rabbi Yehuda ben nedava ben neder lo amar. So then I say, wait a minute. V'haktane tov mizeh umizeh no deru mekayem. But what do you mean? He says specifically no deru mekayem is what we're trying to avoid, right? Not nedava. So they say, oh no, t'nei no dev u'mekayem. Like we had yesterday, changed the text. It really means no dev. Maybe according to Nomi's reading, that it was just a mistake in the resh and the bet. And read it as no dev u'mekayem. So now, again, we're going to ask the same question. My shna no der delo dilma'ata balidei takala. Nidavanami dilma'ata lidei takala. Right? What would be the whole reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to this, you can't take a neder? The whole reason you can't take a neder is because you might not fulfill it. Well, if that's the case, then the Nedava should have the same implications. So again, they're going to answer. It's interesting that by Korban it's going to be the same answer. By Nedava it's going to be, by Nazir it's going to be a bit of a different answer. So they say, Rabbi Yehuda Lita'ame De'amar Adam Mivi Kivsatola Azara Umachtisha V'Somech Aleha V'Shochata. Okay? Here they didn't say, like Hillel is okay, but they said Rabbi Yehuda himself. It matches his opinion elsewhere. What does he say? People would bring their keves to the Azara. They would only be makdish and say, I'm using this for my korban immediately before. Then he would do smicha, then he would shecht it, and be done with it. And then there's no concern that he won't be makayam, where there's very little margin of error there. Tinach nedava de korbanot. So that all works for nedava of korbanot. But nedara de nezirut ma'ikalamem. Or what can we say about the nedava of nezirut? So again, they say, Rabbi Yehuda l'ta'ame. Here, Rabbi Yehuda also has a comment about this elsewhere, and it matches what we want to say here. D'tanya, we have a braita where it says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, Chasidim harishonim, hayu mit'avim lahavi korban chatat, l'fi she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yedehem. What did we learn about a korban chatat? Korban chatat, let's just review. Generally, you bring a korban chatat for what reason? If you do something that b'mezid, you would get karet. If you did it b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chatat. Now, what are they saying here? The Chasidim HaRishonim really wanted to bring a korban chatat. What was the problem? And they like to bring every korban. So, you know, in Ola, you have opportunities to bring, right? The Ola Riyah and also all sorts of Olot that you bring. Shlamim, we're always bringing shlamim. You know, you can always bring if you want. You can make a neder and a davan. You can bring a shlamim. But what about a chatat? Chatat, it's hard to bring unless you do something wrong. And what do you have to do wrong? You have to do something wrong with shogeg. So first of all, you can't plan to do something wrong with shogeg. And there's this protection for Chasidim HaRishonim that God protects them, that shkagot don't come to their hands. Okay, that was like a belief they had, that God protects them from shkagot. This is interesting. I'm also keep making reference to this. You talk about the overlap. So I'm learning with the girls about your miklat. So there also, there seems to be this perception that God directs who's supposed to kill b'shogeg. You know, there's divine intervention there as to who kills b'shogeg, and it's sort of, he needs to get a punishment for something, so God makes him kill b'shogeg so he can end up in the Ur Miklat. You know, there's like some sort of divine intervention underlying things here. That's the same concept that's coming up here. Okay? Again, I don't know if everybody agreed with it, but it's definitely an approach. Okay? You have to always remember, when you see these things, it doesn't mean everybody believed that this was the way, but Rabbi Yehuda definitely thinks that this is the case. So he says they wanted to bring a korban chatat, l'fi she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yedehem, right? But God doesn't ever bring a takala. So ma hayu osim? Remember, we talked about this. One korban chatat or two, right? There's the yoledet, okay? They can't exactly have to bring a korban yoledet. No way they can work that one out. So what's the other one? Nizirut. Ah, the nazir brings a chatat. So if they want to bring a chatat, what would they do? Right? Omdim u'mitnadvim nizirut lamakom, kedei she'yitchayev korban chatat lamakom. If they say, I'm going to be a nazir, then they'll get to bring a korban chatat. So what does this tell us? That's how you have an adava of nizirut. It's someone who so much wants to bring korban chatat, and he has no other opportunity, so he becomes a nazir for this pure reason. Okay? Now, what's interesting about this, the Gemara doesn't stop here, because that would be enough to tell us Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But the Gemara continues to quote the rest of that braita that brings an opposing opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo nadru b'nazir, okay? They didn't do such a thing. The people who were dying to bring a korban chatat, ela harotzeh lahavi ola mitnadev umevi shlamim. If he wants to bring a shlamim, mitnadev umevi toda v'arba'a minei lachma. The toda, the korban toda, comes with four types of breads. Mitnadev umevi, aval benizirut lo hitnadvu kedei shelo yikaru chotim. Nazirut, nobody would ever want to become a Nazir. Okay, here this goes to what Shoshana was asking before in class about what was the perception of Nazirut. So here we see there's different perceptions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is an ideal to strive for. Is the noise?
The garbage just stopped.
Okay. So anyway, one approach is to say, like Rabbi Yehuda, it's an ideal, right? Here you have people, if you do it in the right way, right, we have different approaches. We have Nazir, right? So we have. There's a way to do it, right? There's a right way and a wrong way, okay? So, but there is a right way, right? There is a way that could be ideal. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Comes Rabbi Shimon and he says, no, ein kaze davar. Nazir is not considered an ideal. And why is that? Okay, like we said, it was in this week's parsha. What does it say? Shene'emar, v'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh. Right? So here, what do we have? Now, it's interesting. This pasuk is talking about when he messes up, right? When he ends up, right? One second. Oh, no. Sorry. It's not. No, I'm getting confused between the pasukim. This is, okay, here's the pasuk. Ba'asa kohen echad l'chata ve'echad l'ola, v'chiper alav me'asher chata l'nefesh, v'kidash roshu b'yom ahu. That's the pasuk by that's every nazir, right? That's not just if timet atzmo, right? Am I getting confused now? Yeah, we need a tanach. Someone want to get one? Yeah, there's In that room, there's a ton of them. In the room over there, there's in the study, there should be. Just can look in either of those rooms.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it is Benazir Shetime? Okay, fine. So that pasuk is talking about, okay, we'll check 100%, but, right, I guess the Gemara is going to say that, or that's later, one second. You're right. Okay, fine. So now, what do we have? He's considered shechatala nef, masher chatala nefesh. Okay, so here we have this approach of Rabbi Shimon, okay, that a nazir, so here we go. Let's read the psukim. Right, it's chiyamut alav met. Okay, v'asakwa en echal v'chata v'echal le'olav v'chiper alav mesher chata l'nefesh. Okay, so this is after he is mitaheret atzmo. So this is a nazir that messed up. Okay, however,
that messed up.
He became tamei. He became tamei not on purpose, but accidentally he became tamei. Again, it's this tfisa that even though it's an accident, it's a little bit, there's some sort of mazid involved there. And then, what happens, right? He brings this, v'chiper alav, and it will be kapara for him, asher chata l'nefesh. Now, even though it's talking about a nazir who messes up, there's still this concept, because he brings a chatat, I think that they wanted to connect these a little bit. That once in a regular nazir who doesn't mess up, brings a chatat no matter what. So they kind of connect these two and say, clearly, there's something wrong with being a nazir. Okay? So again, they're applying a pasuk not in its exact manner, because they're taking the pasuk by a nazir shenitma, right? But they're applying it to a general case of nizirut. Okay?
Is this because they thought that it was too extreme? It could be.
There could be many reasons why they thought so. It's too extreme. It sounds a little like asceticism, even though it's not exactly, right? It's very different. But it could be that that was an approach. It could be it was affected by Christianity. It's possible. And they wanted to kind of say, that's not our approach, and, we want to stay away from these. Like, it could be a historical thing, that maybe at one point it was ideal, and then from the Christian influence, they kind of wanted to steer away from it. Definitely a possibility. So anyway, what we see here are different approaches, and what's interesting here is where the Gemara goes with this. So the Gemara says now, Amar Abaye, Shimon Tzadik, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar Kapar, Kulan Shita Achatin, De Nazir Chote Have. Okay, now they want to tell us, we've seen this before, by the way, okay, where they kind of take different statements that people said, and they want to group them together and say, by the way, we want you to know that all these people were of the same approach. And here I think that the Gemara is trying to make a point. It's not just Stam saying this, but the Gemara wants to stress that really we don't think Nazirut is right, and here we're going to show you three different people who all thought so. Okay, who, by the way, are in different generations as far as I can tell. I think they're all different time periods. So Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar. So how do we have it? Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon Hada Amaram, right? We already quoted them. Remember, Shimon HaTzadik was the one who said, I saw this guy with the long curly hair and I said, why are you doing this? Meaning that he didn't think it was ideal. Only this one guy, yes, but otherwise not. And I would never eat the chatat of from the Nazir Shenitma, the asham of the Nazir Shenitma. Then Rabbi Shimon, who just said this, and now Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. He's, by the way, the famous one, because he's quoted in Rashi, if I recall, on the Torah there, and everyone knows this one, or more. It's more known. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar b'Rebbe. D'tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar b'Rebbe Omer, v'chiper alav me'asher chata l'nefesh. V'chi be'ezo nefesh chata zeh. What was his chet? Okay? Ela shetzi'er atzmo min hayayin. Okay, what was the chait that he did? That he swore off of wine. That was a bad thing. Okay, here we get this approach of making a neder, right, to forbid something to you is not the Jewish way, so to speak, right? Like, that's what he's basically saying. This isn't the way we do things. We don't swear off of things. It's not our approach, which matches everything we've been saying about nedarim and the approach that they had, that it wasn't a good thing to do. Hello? What?
Do they ever compare this to a yoledet? She also voluntarily, so to speak, gets herself in a situation where she has to break a chatat.
Yeah, except that she has a mitzvah to have a child.
Actually, no, we don't.
Right.
Maybe he does.
he does that. Ah, I see. And then a woman, you're saying, shouldn't really get, right? It's going to be difficult if the women shouldn't get themselves into situations where they get pregnant. It's going to kind of create a problem for the man. I don't think it really comes up here. First of all, the difference between Yoledet and Nazir is that by Yoledet, there's no mention of a chet, except for that she brings a chatat. With the Nazir, and this is what they're playing with, and this is why I want to make it clear from the psukim. The Nazir brings a chatat when he finishes his regular Nazirut. But when it talks about the Nazir Shenitma, it says, Me'asher chatat ala nefesh, and they apply that to a regular Nazir. They say there's something about a regular Nazir that's also no good, that has this mention of a chet, whereas the Yoledet has no mention of chet anywhere. Okay? And that's why, again, they come up with, oh, she must have sworn when she was giving birth that she would never have a baby again. But that's clearly a commentary, and nobody really knows why she's bringing a chatat. So now they say, wait, halo advarim kavachomer. Umaz de shalotzi eretzmo elemen ayayin nikra chote, hamitza eretzmo mikol davar al acha kama v'kama. And shouldn't we say then that anybody who swears off of anything should be all the more so? And therefore, mikan, right? Shouldn't we say then that someone who says, I'm not going to eat anything, okay, and has that approach, right, I'm going to fast, should also be considered a chote, and we know he's not. So what do they say? V'hadin kra b'nazir tamektiv, mishum d'shina b'chetu. Okay, what are they saying? That pasuk was talking about the Nazir Tameh because he did two things wrong. As opposed to a ta'anid, where you just did one thing wrong by swearing off of everything, even though it's more chamor than just swearing off of wine. But here, what do we have? That this guy did two things. He also was nitma, and also was a nazir in the first place. Okay? So here, they end up... What's weird here is they're going back and forth between the Nazir, the regular Nazir, and the Nazir Shenitma. So it's a little confusing how they do it. They're kind of over intertwining the two things.
So are they ending up by saying a regular Nazir is not a chet to be regular?
No, they're not really. They're saying basically it's really not a good thing in any case, right? So why is this?
I wonder whether it was really hard to avoid becoming in any given 30-day period, because tumah is everywhere in those days. At least they were much more aware of it, and people were dying sort of more publicly.
Right.
It must have been, possibly they weren't separating them that much.
But how often were you in an enclosed place with a dead person?
I have no idea, but if they're going back and forth, it's almost as if they're...
Because the other tumah are all over.
What?
Is it only
tumah meit? Yeah, it's only tumah meit. So, by the way, one thing I forgot to point out, the Ran says here that, by the way, this question is only on Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, but not on Shimon HaTzadik, because you have to distinguish. Shimon HaTzadik was very specific that he was only talking about the Nazir Shenitma, right? His whole statement, and that's what's interesting, that they're combining them all, but really his comment was really only on the Nazir Shenitma. Remember he said, I'll never eat the asham of a Nazir Shenitma. Okay, that was his issue. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar HaKapar are really talking about everyone, even though they're using the pasuk of the Nazir Shenitma. Okay? And that's why they end up, but they're definitely talking about Nazirut in general. It's clear from their statements.
Even though their argument is really based on the
pasuk. Even though their argument is based on the pasuk by the Chatal HaNefesh. Right? So it could be that they're trying to say, look where it could get you. In other words, and that's why it's a bad thing, because whether it was common or not, as Ruth points out, whether it was very easy to become Tamei Lamed or it wasn't very easy, it's just this could lead you to problems, and you could get yourself into a situation where you'll end up being Chotei Pa'amayim. And they just, it's clear, they just don't like the concept, right? They don't want people to say it, okay? And as a closure to this and an intro to the next section, I wanted to just talk about for a minute the problems that we've mentioned of Nizirut and Nidarim, right? So, again, Nizirut, one of the problems of Neder and Nizirut is that you might say you're going to do something and you won't actually come to fulfill it, right? One thing we didn't discuss, I wanted to connect it to the Torah, where, there's a few Nidarim in the Torah. There's Yaakov makes the Neder in Beit El, right? And I'll bring Aser Asrenu Lach, and it's certainly not viewed negatively, right? But there's other, I actually didn't look it up, I wanted, when he basically says about the trafim, I didn't know if there was a lashon of neder there. When Yaakov says, that no one has the trafim, I assume he uses a lashon of neder there. And there, he really gets Rachel into trouble, right? Because, or he must use some lashon of shvuah, I don't remember, we can look it up later. But That's another case where you see someone said something, he was so sure that she didn't have the trafim, and then it ended up, you know, getting her killed. The other one is obvious, Yiftach, right? Yiftach is the main one. I mean, that's, you know, the clear promise. And what's wrong there? With both those, the trafim story and Yiftach, what's the issue? That they said something, right? With Yiftach, right, Yiftach, I think he didn't really realize the ramifications of what he was saying. Right? He was referring to animals, but ended up referring to people, right? In other words, he didn't express it clearly enough, right, what he really meant. And with Yaakov, he just didn't know the facts, right? He was confident that he knew what he was talking about, and he didn't really know, right? He didn't know that she had taken them. So here are two different aspects where you might either say something that you don't really mean, and you weren't clear about it, and that's where we get into this whole kinuyim and yadon, and what did you mean, and what did you say, and what were your intentions? And he said something that he clearly didn't, he would never have said it. He didn't know his daughter was going to be the first one to walk through the door, right? And he was really referring to an animal, you have to assume. He wasn't referring to a person. And Yaakov just didn't know the facts, right? And then sometimes we're confident that we think we know something, and we don't really know, right? This happens all the time. This actually comes up by, I'm going to just veer to something else. Lo tesurman adavar sheyidu lecha yamin u'smol. You have to keep whatever the chachamim say, right? Don't move to the right or to the left. What does that mean, don't move to the right or to the left? So there's interpretations and they're opposites of this pasuk, okay? One interpretation is, even if they tell you, there's a famous one, that your yamin is small and small is yamin, don't listen to them. Meaning, even if they're 100% wrong, don't listen to them. That's one approach. The other approach says, no. Even if you think that what they're saying is that your yamin is small and your small is yamin. Why? Because the one approach is basically, the first approach is that the Beit Din can make mistakes. The other approach is saying, the Beit Din doesn't make mistakes, you make mistakes. It's, you think that what they're telling you is that your yamin is small, but you're wrong. You can be so confident in what you're saying, but sometimes you can be wrong in your confidence. And that's what could also lead to problems with nidarim. You're sure that you can keep this nizirut, you're sure that you can do this, and maybe you can't. Or you say a neder. I'm going to, like, let's say with the woman and her money, I'm sure that I can get my ketubah money, okay? But maybe she did and she doesn't realize, right? And that's actually a problem we're going to see. I don't think it actually was appeared explicitly, but there's a mission in Gittin that says that they stopped at a certain point letting in a, you have to take a shvuah if you're a person who wants to take money from Yatomim, that we learned. If you want to collect money, you have to swear that you didn't get the money from the father, you know, during your lifetime, whether you're a Baal Chov or you're a woman who wants ketubah money. But at a certain point, they stopped letting the women swear because the women were lying. Not because they meant to lie, but they didn't realize that sometimes the husband would give them money during their lifetime and she thought it was for something else and she didn't realize she got her ketubah money. So that it created this problem where people are saying things that they're sure about, they're swearing about them or making the dharma on them, but they're not really right. So that there's all this concern about how you, and we all know that this happens all the time in our lives, forget promises, right? We say things that we don't mean or you know, we don't realize the ramifications of what we say. So people are constantly talking about, you have to watch what you say, and you have to think twice before you say something. It's very damaging words, and that's, you know, on the one hand, this is very tedious, and you're going to see, the rest of the daf is incredibly tedious. But what it's really relating to is how you speak and how careful you are about what comes out of your mouth and how careful you should be. And that's what we're going to see now. Okay. We're finally getting to our kinuyim, okay? Ha'omer. So remember, ABBA structure, right? Kinuyim, yado, now we're going to move on to first. Yado, now we're on to first kinuyim. Ha'omer. Konan, konach, konas. Hare elu kinuyim, right? Instead of saying kikorban, you say konam, konach, konas. That's kinuyim lekorban. Harak, harach, haraf. Hare elu kinuyim lecherem. Or maybe it's cherek, cheref. Cherech, cherech. Okay. Nazik, nazich, pazich. Hare elu kinuyim lenizirut. Shvuka, shkuka, noder b'mohi. Hare elu kinuyim leshvuah. Here's a really weird one, okay? What's noder b'mohi? Okay, nobody really knows what this is. Different interpretations given. The main interpretation among the mefarshim is that it's talking about mohi is Moshe. Okay? And they're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that we have our Tanakh here. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu in Shmot. Okay, Perek Bet. Okay. He gets to Yitro's house. Okay? And he says, right, Vayomer Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish, vayiten et zippor bito l'Moshe. Okay? This is after, right, so he says to his daughters, why did you leave this man? Bring him and he'll eat. And then it says, vayomer Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish. Nobody knows what that means. So the Mefreshim say there, Vayoel is Lashon Allah. You remember there's Allah in the Torah, it's a Shvu'ah. Okay, like in the, I think it comes up in the Brachot and the Klalot or something. I don't, appears a bunch of times in the Torah. Allah is a Shvu'ah. And Vayoel is he took a Shvu'ah. Okay, he swore. So what do they say? And as he swore, I'm not going to move from here until you give her to me to be my wife. So now they say, if you make a neder like Moshe, and as you say, Noder Bimohi. I'm making a neder like Moshe. Okay, there's another opinion that, no, it's just a different term that means Shvua. Okay, it has nothing to do with Moshe. And it's a different term. It's just another kinoi for Shvua. Okay. Itmar. Kinuyim. Here we get to the famous machloka we mentioned before. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Lashon Umoten. Rabbi Shum Ben Lakish Omer Lashon Shebadu Lahem Chachamim Liot Noder Bo. One approach is to say, these are words that the Goyim use, and we just are saying, right, if we use the Lashon that they use, then that's fine. Now, what's weird about that is that it's so similar to the words that we have, right? It's not like they're so far off. Now, you could say maybe, you know, their languages were similar to ours, they came from the same source, Semitic languages, and that the Nochrim they were talking about were Nochrim who, you know, whose languages were similar and just a little modified. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, it's a special Lashon that the Chachamim created. Why did they create it? So that if people said something a little differently, right? In other words, they created some, it's a little strange why they would create these other terms, but they created other terms for people to use. Okay? So now we're going to see a little bit of this. What's Badulahem? Okay? V'chein hu omer, b'chodesh asher badami libo. Who remembers this from Nach? This is Yeravam. You remember Yeravam ben Nevat? What did he try to do? He tried to create his own system of religion, right? He took religion and he changed it a little bit. So he took a new month for the Chagim, right? Because what was the problem? Everyone was going to the Beit HaMikdash in the month, and he wanted people to come to him. And it was competition. So he said, oh, I'll do it in a different month, and then people will come also to me. So here you see, Bada Milibo, right? He created it on his own. And that's what the Chachamim did, okay? Here they're just explaining the Lashon of Rish Lakish, not work, you know, this doesn't really relate to the other thing. What's interesting about it is, it's they're quoting a pasuk from Yeravam, which clearly has negative connotations. What he did was really no good. And it's interesting to hear the Chachamim made up these terms that would function as Nedarim, and yet they're kind of saying that it's, right, it almost like you get a negative connotation about the whole thing, even though it's not. It clearly works.
It's funny that they don't like them, but they make it easier to do. Right. It would have just been as easy to say, if you don't say it exactly right, it doesn't count, and that would have not
been right, a huge right. They made it more difficult. However, we're going to see why they did it now. Okay, so the Gemara is going to say, "Ma'itz kinu rabbanan kinuim." Why did they make these kinuim? So now they say, "Delo lema korban," because they don't want people to say the word korban. Okay, velema korban. So what? Like, what if people say korban? What's wrong with that? Dilma amar korban lahashem. What's the issue? The pasuk says, and there's a pasuk which says, there's the pasuk about korban lahashem. One second, anybody see where it says it here? Where does it come up? Maybe there. One second, there's a pasuk. What?
Sorry,
is that the one? Vayikra Kavzayin Kavchet? Vayikra Aleph Bet. Okay, thanks. Okay. So in Vayikra Aleph, Pasuk Bet, it says, Vayikra Moshe v'yidaber elah me'ol mo'ed le'mor, daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, adam ki yakriv mikem korban la'Hashem. Okay? Now, what was their assumption? That people knew the Tanakh by heart. Okay, now let me have to figure out where that pasuk was. So now, what's the issue? So what if you say korban la'Hashem? Now, the issue was that people would say Korban LaHashem like it says in the Pasuk. So they say, so what? So they'll say Korban LaHashem. Dilma Amar LaHashem, velo Amar Korban, v'kamapik Shem Shemayim levatala. They're worried that people might use the Lashon, add Shem Hashem to this Amira, without the word Korban, and then they'll change their mind, and then it turns out that they were Motzi Shem Shemayim levatala. Okay? So now, right, we're concerned that people are going to say, once you say the word korban, it'll like come off the tip of your tongue, korban Hashem, because that's their use of the pasuk. And then the people use Shem Hashem when they use Nedarim, and they prefer people not use Shem Hashem, because maybe by accident, then one time they'll just say Shem Hashem, and they won't say korban, and then they won't end up making the Nedar, and then they won't fulfill it, and then they'll be Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. Again, you see this real concern, like we saw earlier in the Masechet, but using God's name in vain. We're going to see in a minute. So what did they do? So they created other words that wouldn't have that connotation in their heads, and they'd end up saying Konam LaHashem or Konas LaHashem. And it was just a better way they would avoid this possibility of Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. It sounds like a distant concern. You know, I don't know what to tell you about it. It could be a mistake. Yeah.
I think it sounds
okay.
Distant.
Why?
I think it's like really very smart because they're being very careful about language.
Uh-huh.
And they really don't want people to make a mistake.
So right. So they're stressing how
words.
You write. They made up words to make sure that people say it in the right way. And
I suppose it makes them think about it more, which means they won't do it as casually, which
mm-hmm.
is something they're worried about since they don't like it to begin with.
Right. Okay. By the way, I have to point out one important thing. We talked about in the very beginning that there's two approaches about whether you have to say when you take a neder, Hare alai kik korban, or you can just say asur alai without the kik korban. So there's two approaches to how to understand this Mishnah. Are these words in place of that necessary korban word? Or is this just, if you're going to use the word, can you use a different word? Okay, so each of the mafreshim there that, you know, says whether it has to, I'm going to use the term again, hatpasa. You have to be matpis your neder on something, on a korban, on a something. Okay, so is this the necessary way to do it? Or can you do it without? And just as Mishnah is saying, if you happen to mention the word, this is, you know, these are possibilities for the word. Okay, Vitanya, Shimon Omer. Minayin shelo yomar adam laHashem ola laHashem mincha laHashem todah laHashem shlamim tamud lamar korban laHashem. Here we see another of the same approach, which is you should never say laHashem ola laHashem mincha. You should never say it in that order. Hashem, Shem Hashem coming first. Okay, and where do we learn that from? Because the pasuk says korban laHashem. Okay, v'kal v'chomer. Umaze shalon itkaven ela lezkir shem shamayim ala korban amra torat korban laHashem korban laHashem levatala alacha kama bekama. In other words, right? If in the Torah when you're really bringing a korban, it says it's a korban laHashem and it says it in that order. Kavachomer, if you're going to say it levatala, you know, for no real reason, alacha kama bekama, then you should make sure to always put Shem Hashem at the end so that you don't end up messing up and, you know, if you're not going to do anything about it. So you should always put it at the end. Okay. Now, so back to this machloket, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Is it hinuyim of Nochrim, or is it hinuyim the Chachamim came up with? So now they want to say, maybe this machloket that they're having is really rooted in an earlier machloket, which we've seen a lot, that they try to connect it. Lema ketanai, Beit Shammai Omrim, kinuyei kinuyin asurim. Okay? Now, we have a machloket about not the kinoy itself. What if you have a kinoy of the kinoy? Okay? A nickname of the nickname. We're going to get into what these possibly are. That's why I told you this stuff is going to be somewhat tedious at this point. Ubed Hil Amrim kinuyei kinuyim mutarim. Okay? So now they're going to say like this. Here they're going to try to connect it to the machlok. My love, Manda Amar, is it not that Misha Amar kinuyei kinuyim asurim, kasavar kinuyim lashon umotain? Okay? And therefore, what's the issue here? If they're from other languages, what's the assumption? That you can easily mess them up. Like you won't remember exactly how to say it and you'll make a mistake and you'll say it's similar but a little different. But then it's really that you meant to make the neder and you meant to say that word, you just didn't really get it. Okay? And that's one approach. And therefore, if you say it's Nochrim, then you're going to say the kinuyei, kinuyim are asurim. Okay, because it was Lashon Nochrim that you're just kind of making a mistake about. Ulaman da'amar mutarim, kasavar Lashon Shabadu lehem chachamim. Right? And therefore, what if it's Lashon Shabadu lehem chachamim, then kinuyei kinuyim would be mutarim. Why? Because the chachamim came up with specific terms. If you use those specific terms, then it's good. If it's not those specific terms, then it's not a neder. And then whatever you said is basically meaningless. Okay? That's one approach. In the end, they're going to reject this. But that's what they're thinking now. Now they say, lo, tekule alma kinuyim lashon umotin. everybody agrees, or at least you can explain it this way, that everybody would go and say they are Lashon Nechuim. Ubeit Shammai Savre Bahani Nami Mishtai Umot. People generally make mistakes in their language. They're not so careful about how they speak. And people pronounce things one way, and they add on a letter here and a letter there. And they, you know, that's how, right, we all know, that's how languages sort of evolve, right? People, you know, might not speak clearly. They might, right, you hear something somebody says, and then you say it the wrong way because that's what you think it is. And it's very common. And therefore, if you said this word that was similar to that word, obviously you meant to make a neder. Ubed Hillel Savre, Bahane Lo Mishtai Umot. Okay, that's, people don't. People know, if you learn a language, you know how to speak it. Any word that's not that is not, that's not what it means. Right? I think I went to Russia one summer and I remember, you know, we learned some Russian basic words, okay, like babushka, okay, right? You all know that word, right? But if you said like babushka or you said babushka, it was a totally different word. Or if you pronounce one letter in a certain way, like they wouldn't, I know I'm saying the right word, but it was, if you pronounce it wrong or you do something off, that's the end of it, right? Like they have no clue. Like they don't even think to connect. Oh, she must be making a mistake in saying that. Okay, so or accents, right? How many times does this happen, right? Voice activation in Israel, right? You have, like you call Maccabi and you say, do you want to go the voice activated route? And then you start talking and it doesn't understand anything I say because of my, you know, the accent. It's like, it just... The way you pronounce things just is totally off, and nobody understands what you mean. So, no, people speak the way the language is supposed to be spoken, and that's the way it is. V'ibayit Ema, here's another way of explaining it. Beit Shammai Savre Gazrinan Kinuyei Kinuyim Mishum Kinuyim. V'Beit Hillel Savre Lo Gazrinan Kinuyei Kinuyim Mishum Kinuyim. Here's a totally different approach. It doesn't matter whether it's Nechuim, Chachamim, or anything. And really, kinuyei kinuyim are not relevant for the sake of neder. It's not a neder. But if people say kinuyei kinuyim, and we say, oh, we don't treat that as a neder, what's going to happen? People might think that kinuyim are also not treated as nedarim. So therefore, Beit Shammai said we have to be machmir, and we have to be gozer on kinuyei kinuyim and treat them as if they're a neder, so that we're machmir, right? Just so that people don't think that regular kinuyim wouldn't count as a neder. Okay, so three different approaches. In the end, we say it clearly doesn't split up into the machloket of Nechuim Chachamim. Each opinion can be explained anyway.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You don't need any eidim, right, for a neder?
No, you don't need eidim.
If you stay alone in the room, even if
yeah.
you don't need eidim,
then you've
so
kept a neder.
It's anyhow about you. If it's self-enforced and about your intentions anyhow, then if you said something and you didn't mean to say it, you're not going to think that you made a shvua. Meaning,
Right. So here, I guess the question is, you say something and you're not sure for yourself if you've said, like maybe you sort of were taking a neder, but here we see that it's not just what you're thinking inside. It's what you actually did. Like it could be you actually are thinking of taking a neder, but you said it in a way that's not mechayev otach. So in the end, you don't really want to keep this neder. And you say, well, I said it in this lashon, does it count or not? So I think that's really what's going on. I think it's probably that he did mean it in this kind of a case. It's just a matter of, do we treat it like it's a real promise or not? A real vow, does it count? I think so. I mean, you're right, there's a bit of an overlap between this issue of trying to figure out what's in his heart, what he really meant, and also trying to figure out what actually happened, right? And how important is that or not, you know, what he was actually thinking. I think it's a little bit underlying a lot of the sugyot here, and I don't think they come out with a clear agenda about it. We'll have to keep it in mind as we go on. Okay, now we're going to get to the real technical. Heichidami kinuyei kinuyim din nedarim. Okay, so we had a list of the kinuyim. Now, what is the list of the kinuyei kinuyim? Okay, this could go on forever, obviously, right? So where do you draw the line? Tani Rav Yosef, mikan mena, mikan chena, mikan sena. Okay, these are obviously plays on konam, konach, and konas. Hechidami kinuyei kinuyim decherem. Tane mefasha, it seems to be somebody's name. Charakim, 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 charfim. Okay, right? It's not cherek, 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 but charakim, 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 charfim. Kinuyei kinuyim de nizirut. Okay, Tane Rav Yosef. Mechazkena, menazkena, mefichna. Okay, again, right? A playoff on nizik, nizik, pazik, pazik. Iba Elohu. Now they ask a question. Mipachzna mai. Mitchazna mai. Mitazna mai. Okay, what if you said it like this? Amar le Rabbi Rav Ashi. Kinma mai. Okay, here's a good one. When if you say kinma, is it konam ka'amar o dilma kinman besen? Okay, or are you talking about kinamon? Okay, in which case, if you're talking about kinamon, right, cinnamon, then clearly that's not what you meant. You weren't talking about a neder. Amaler of acha bered rav chiel rav ashi kina mai kina shel tornegolim kamar o dilma lashon de konam. Okay, here I read a parsha which talked about here it's mil el or mil ra. Like, how did you pronounce it? A kina would be a lul of tarnagolim, but a kina would be like konam. And what's our obvious answer? Tibai. We don't know. Teku. Okay, that's our teku in the Darm. Remember? Tibai. Okay, we don't know the answer. Okay, here you can see they're getting off already on, you know, it's like, it reminds me, by the way, I keep making references to my Tuesday night Gemara class with the girls. They ask, they love to, they're 6th, 7th grade girls, and all they do is ask, well, what if this, and what if that, and what if that? Like, you can get off on what if questions forever, okay? And often in that class, they try to. But at a certain point, right, which is sort of, why do they do it? Why am I bringing this up? Because that's the way the Gemara is. In other words, they're mimicking, if the Gemara is going to ask any kind of question, well, then I can ask any kind of question. And to a certain extent, you're right. You know, but at a certain point, you have to stop. But that's what the Gemara is doing here, basically. They're getting off on, yeah, well, what if it's this, and what if it's that, and where do we end? And like I answer the girls, I don't really know, right? Like at a certain point, you don't really know what to answer for all these questions. Kinuye kinim deshvua hechidami. Shvuel shvutiel shkukiel. So now is a great one. You ready for this? Shvuel, how could you say shvuel is a lashem of shvua? Shvuel ben Gershom mashma. Okay, shvuel ben Gershom is mentioned in the Divrei HaYamim. I think he worked for David, one of David's people, and he comes from Gershon, who came from Moshe. Okay, Moshe's son Gershom. Obviously, it wasn't direct lineage, right? They just skipped a bunch of names. Anyway, so they say, so it must not be Shvuel, Ela Shvuvel, Shvutiel Shkukiel Mahu. That's really what they meant to say. Amar Shmuel, Amar Ashivta Lo Amar Klum, Ashkika Lo Amar Klum, Krishna Lo Amar Klum, Krishna. Okay, so now he gives a bunch of lishonot. They clearly, okay, here we don't have a question about them. These are clearly off the map. These are not issues. Nadar b'mohi hare elu kinuyim. Tanya Rashbag omer, ha'omer b'mohi lo amar klum. B'mumta da'amar mohi hare elu kinuyim l'shvua. Okay, now it's unclear whether Rashbag is disagreeing or he's explaining. Okay, so it's unclear. You can explain it in both ways. But anyway, if you just say b'mohi, that doesn't count. But if you say b'mumta da'amar mohi, then it counts, which sounds like the parshan that says it's like Moshe, right? And it's like a shvua that Moshe said. That's a kinoi for shvua. Yeah.
If they're being so specific about language, then why can't they just say it's Moshe? I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Right. If they're being so specific, why would b'mohi not be Moshe?
It's Moshe.
Right. It's true. It's a definite difficulty on the parish that, on the parshan that says it's Moshe. I think it's a difficult parshanut, actually. I agree with you. I think it's more likely that it's some sort of lashon of shvua. Although, what would it mean b'mumta da'amar mohi? So, what is mohi then? As I think, what motivated them was this line to say that mohi must be somebody. And also, you have to remember, like mohi, Moshe, even Ezra even says it. What's his name? Just make fun of my son Moshe all the time and call him that when he was little. There's some other lashon that they say that's what the Umot called. Yeah, that's what the Mitzrim called Moshe. I'm totally blanking on it, but I think that Ibn Ezra quotes it, that he had some other name, you know, and that it could be that Moshe went through different Gilgulim of what exactly his name was. Although you had to think by this time, everyone was calling him Moshe. You don't really see him mentioned as anything else otherwise. But yeah, it's a very good question. I don't have a good answer, but it's another one of those cases where the Tanaim said one thing and then the Mefreshim didn't know what they were talking about and tried to come up with something. They said, it must be Moshe. Well, where did Moshe take a shvuah? Oh, by Yoel. Now you have to remember, by Yoel, not all the Parshanim think he took a shvuah. Some of the Parshanut says it, and you know, maybe it comes from here where they get that Parshanut from. Again, the Shoresh Allah is a shvuah, but it doesn't mean that Vayoel Moshe means it was a shvuah. You know, I think it means Vayoel is refused. I think so it doesn't necessarily have to be explained that way. So yeah, we can leave it with a question. Okay, we'll end here. We'll start with the new question tomorrow.